Hey, wonderfuls. Welcome to episode 553 of the JV Club with my awesome guest, Dulcie Sloan. What a joy. What a powerhouse. Just what an amazing, wonderful comedian, writer, human. Really enjoy this conversation. I know that you will as well. I hope everyone is having a good April so far. It feels like there's just this Year of the Dragon thing has been... It's been a very eventful year, good and bad. So I hope everyone's kind of hanging in there. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only person who's having this sort of like, really? Also this kind of a year so far. But I cannot believe it's like mid-April right now. So sending everybody lots of love and care. And I also, it just occurred to me, I don't know if I've brought up the E Pluribus Motto podcast that Hodgman and I started creating together last year during Max Fun Drive. But I just want to reassure people, anybody who's interested, you know, we did do it live on the Joco Cruise. It was super fun. It sounds like the recording of it was completely corrupted and like is unplayable. But that podcast exists and we are slowly building it. And you will have a way of hearing it soon. It's just one of those things where I think, you know, we're trying to figure out the best way to roll it out. And we were talking about doing it during Max Fun Drive. And then everybody at Max Fun was so swamped that couldn't happen. So patience on that. This is a ultra long intro. So I'm going to leave you and let you enjoy this wonderful conversation and talk to you next week. You.
All right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I feel like I've had a maybe too eventful couple of months since Sketchfest, but most of it isn't like amazing. So I've lost all, like, we already lost track of time during the pandemic. Now I'm just like, I don't know. When is it? What am I supposed to be doing?
Listen, I just realized that I moved into my house almost a year ago. Like, it'll be a year in May.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I don't, there's still boxes in here. Like, I moved in May, and then my family, my mom and my brother, moved in September, and there's still boxes upstairs.
Yeah.
And there's still boxes in the living room, and I still haven't like painted my kitchen and all this other stuff. But it was just like, the strike hit, you know, like everybody stopped moving. And then right. My family moved in during the strike, so I was taking care of them and then being on the road. And then I had a book come out on February the 6th. And so I'm just ending.
I know it.
The book tour. And that's, and then I'm still on the road doing stand up while I'm doing the book tour. So I'm in Jacksonville now.
That was what I was going to ask for sure, was like how much overlap you were getting with like, well, if I'm doing the book tour, I like, can it be aligned with stand-up dates? Is it like a separate thing where like twice the amount of stuff is just being added on, but it's not necessarily like able to be in like tight little like, hey, I'm here and I'm doing a reading during the day and then I do my stand-up during the night.
That's what it is. So it's like,
oh, that's better.
My stand-up tour is like, they had my dates for the stand-up tour and then they were like, well, let's put the book signing dates to align with the stand-up tour. So I've had people that like, they knew I was there for the book tour, but didn't know I was there for stand-up, and then vice versa, where they're like, they're there for the stand-up, and it's like, oh, I saw that you had a book signing. And so that's been good. Or I've had people, like when I was in Chicago, I had a couple people like bring their book to the show for me to sign. So that was kind of cool.
That's lovely. Can you talk about the book for a second? I definitely want people to hear about it and buy it.
So the book's called Hello Friends, Stories of Dating, Destiny, and Day Jobs. I wanted to call it, don't call it a memoir. I'm only 39. But, which everyone has thought was hilarious. But then the publisher was like, well, we can't tell people what it's not. So I was like, yeah, but it's hilarious. They're like, and I'm like, oh, y'all don't think how I think.
Right.
Like, I started with comedic stories. So like, when I found out I had to write a book because my manager tricked me. Listen, sometimes you have good managers who believe in you and
damn it,
think that you can do a multitude of things. One day he called me. He was like, "What if you wrote a book?" And I was like, "That sounds hard. Sounds very difficult." Boo, hiss, no. He was like, "What if you just took a meeting?" And I was like, "I'll always take a meeting. This whole industry is people just taking meetings, right?"
And it usually doesn't mean anything at all in the end. So
Well,
that's a safe bet, except for you got
right.
tricked.
Listen, there was three more meetings, and then he called me back. He was like, "Okay, so you gotta write a book." I said, like, "Hold on, what the hell happened?" Him and some lady, the book agent, they were in cahoots, and then all of a sudden, bam, now I'm writing a book. So I called Michelle Buteau. It was like, "How do I do this?" Because she'd done her book, Survival of the Thickest, and she was like, "Well, start with stories that are too long to tell on stage."
So great advice.
So I was like, "Okay, I got some stories." It was like, I had dating stories about a guy I was dating, making me a very loud breakfast. So weird. I knew he was making eggs, but he kept tapping the fork on the sink, and I was like, "What's happening?" And something was like, "Don't ask him." So then there's that. I used to date a mechanic, because when we met, I had a 92 Pontiac with 283,000 miles on it that was leaking oil and transmission fluid. So I started dating a mechanic because I am smart. And then we ended up going back and forth for 8 years. And I had other boyfriends in between. At one point, I pulled up to his job and gave him divorce papers. Listen, I tell people I've never been married, but I have been divorced. He's giving me alimony, so God bless. Hey, sometimes, somebody goes to Afghanistan. Don't worry, he wasn't fighting for our country. He was just a mechanic in Afghanistan. And then let's see, dating, destiny. So destiny is like how I became a comic and how I had no intention of being a comic. And a comedian named Big Kenny put me in his stand-up class. And my mom had a dream about me being a comic, so that's how I got into it. And day jobs. We both know if someone trying to make it in this here entertainment industry, you're gonna have to work in somebody's office. And not only that, I'm bilingual. I speak Spanish. And so I've done a lot of bilingual customer service. So I've been proposed to in multiple languages, no, just Spanish.
I bet you have.
Just some man coming in and just pick up a stucco and ask me for my hand in marriage. And I'm just like, "But sir, you have a wife here." And
She's literally standing
she's
right next
right.
to you.
And she speaks this language. Why are you insulting me?
What are we doing?
So don't you have a girlfriend in Mexico? Like, I don't want to play this game. So, but like, I did bilingual customer service for a power company, for a trash company. I stage managed theaters. I used to have a jewelry business. I made handmade jewelry.
Nice.
I used to do kids' birthday parties.
Wait, so were you co like coordinating kids' birthday parties? Like, I'm gonna
I
make
was
it
coming in
great, or you're
doing
like going and doing comedy?
crafts and bringing in stuff for them to make crafts and doing scavenger hunts for kids' birthday
Oh, I
parties.
love a good scavenger hunt.
I did a Harry Potter one time for a young man, and basically most of the birthday parties I did, actually all the birthday parties I did for were for one family.
Okay.
And I still
You were
know
the
them
go-to.
because they're my one of my best friends from college. It's her brother and his family, and then I did one for her, and her daughter's named after me. So this one, it's actually was really great. But yeah, the Harry Potter one, I was like, I got a bunch of little stuff, like little plastic bugs from the Dollar Tree, and then made a list because like we had to make our own spell, and then you do like make like a witch's brew, which basically was just baking soda and vinegar. And then so his birthday is in March, and so St. Patrick's Day, you know how they sell like pot of golds at
Sure.
Party City. So I take all the
Yeah.
candy out of it, and this is our cauldron. And so I
Love
just
it.
literally just tossed plastic snakes and bugs and all kinds of stuff
Yeah.
into this like their back, all this land because it's Georgia's our land. Pass throw, and then the guy was like, "All right, I need seven snakes," and bring little plastic snakes and four roaches and all this other stuff and little frogs, and we put them in the
Oh, so
cauldron.
good.
And I'm just like, "All right," and here's our iron. And so I just gave it stupid names, iron newt, whatever. Pour the baking soda vinegar, and it bubbles up. I'm like, "All right, everybody, close your eyes, repeat after me." And they said something, and then when they opened their eyes, because the older kid saw me, was like, "Hey," and I was like, "Shut up." And so there's some 13-year-old trying to fuck something up. I was like, "Shut up." And so I had this big plastic egg because it was around Easter. And so when they opened their eyes, there was this plastic egg that came out of a little potion that we made. And then the kid breaks the egg open, and then there's clues, and then there's a scavenger hunt through the house. And so
Damn.
I made a golden snitch, whatever the hell that is. I didn't see any of the Harry
I
Potter
know.
movies. But so I went on Pinterest because there's always a white woman who did it before me.
Always.
So I got a ping pong ball and some hot glue and just a design on it. And then I took like a big feather, sliced it down the middle, glued that to the side, sprayed it all gold. And my mom had these really pretty cigar boxes, stuck that in there. And so he did a scavenger hunt through the house, found the golden snitch, we put it in the house, bam. And then the craft was he wanted to paint like little owls, because I guess that's significant. Like I've never seen any of these movies. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. And so I was like, how the hell am I going to get them to make owls? And there was this like cake decorating store that my mom used to go to all the time, which I don't know why, because I don't remember her making cakes all the time. But they had all these candy molds. I don't know why the hell she was. I think she was getting the boards to make something. I can't remember. And so they had all these candy molds of different things. And so they had all these different animals. And so they had these owl candy molds. And so I took like I got some clay, like a polymer clay, and put them in the molds and just popped them in my, I have like a craft toaster oven. And so made like 30, 40 of these things. Because I remember from doing other parties, a kid would do a craft and be like, can I make another thing? And I'm like, yes. But can I make another thing? Yes. And so what I did was, as opposed to charging per kid, I charged per thing they made.
Ooh, that is so smart.
So if one kid was like, can I make another owl? I'm like, please.
I would love nothing please. More.
Love nothing more. And then their mom always gave me like a big tip. But literally I was doing shows in like Missouri and they'd moved to Arkansas and they drove 2 hours up. And so like the sun, I probably hadn't seen most of, like, I haven't seen these three kids in like 10 years because they had moved, but they came because they were too young to still see the show. But it's like, I still know them. I still talk to their mom, all of that. Man. And so it was very interesting to see like them from so little to being like big. And I'm just like, oh man, it makes you feel, it should make you feel old, but seeing other children grow up, you're like, you're not supposed to do this. Like there's a guy in the book, UPS guy, when we met, his daughter was like maybe two.
Yeah.
And then the last time I talked to him was like 2-3 years ago. And he was like, she's getting her driver's license. And I was like,
no. Yeah. Yeah. That measurement of time is, feels somehow, it feels, I don't have kids, so I can live in denial until I see a friend's child, and then it's like such a slap in the face, like, oh god damn it, why'd you have to remind me, I am getting old, fuck.
One of my best friends, her son just bought a house, and I was like,
oh,
what?
No, that's crazy.
But he's like 17.
Yeah, okay, well that should make you feel better.
And
also,
like,
what the? How does he have a house? That's amazing.
Because they live in LaGrange, Georgia.
Copy.
But still, I was like, what the? How?
Yeah.
Who has the savings?
Yeah, I know.
How much was this house? 17? I was like, I've been working since I was 9. There was no way I'd have bought a house. But it's like, I was like, I wanted to call her. It's like, you better have helped your son with this down payment or I will flip a table in here. Uh-huh. I cannot with this. But yeah, because I want kids and I'm 40. And I'm just like, man, when them kids hit college, I might be, I hope I remember them because I'm about to be.
Oh, you're fine.
When my mom was my age, I was in college.
I know, but people are just having kids so much later and later now. And like, you know, I think it's working. It's working for people.
Well, my mom said, because it's like, if I think about like, and thank you for that. I think about like, one, if I would have had kids younger, I wouldn't have the career that I wanted. As in, I wouldn't be where I wanted to be like, okay. Because I remember, I think I've just swear I have in the book where I'm working at this day job and it's me and my supervisor. We're the only ones in there that don't have children. We're both like 27. And we're the only ones that don't have a kid in there. And this lady named Marquita. I think I used a false name. I can't remember what fake name is, but the bitch's name was Marquita. I'm sorry, Marquita. Excuse me.
Marquita, got it.
And she said to me one day, she had like 3 kids and she wasn't married. And she was like, why ain't you got no kids? And I was like, what? I'm just over here asking. I'm just trying to get a form signed. What's happening? And she's like, no, I'm just saying, why you ain't got no kids? You old enough to have kids. I'm saying, why you ain't got no kids? And I was like, oh, I'm waiting to be married and be more established in my career.
Yeah.
To have kids. And she was like, you ain't got to be married to have kids. And I went, you didn't have to be married to have kids. And I just felt my supervisor grab me by the back of my shirt and then just pull me. And I just remember going, it's her fault. From in front of this woman's cuticle. I mean, she done stopped the mud hole in me. She had three kids, but so she, and I can tell she was whooping ass.
Yep.
But it was like, first of all, what a rude. I was like, well, how am I in trouble? She started this. She's like, just go to your desk. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is my fault. I didn't do nothing. She just go sit down. But it was a very interesting response because I was just like, why is this such a wild concept to want to be financially ready? To make a human being.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, so you said your mom was in college when you were born?
No. Well, she was in college when I was born. Yeah. When my mom was my age.
Got it.
I was in college.
You were in college. Got it. Yeah, I didn't.
But my mom was in college when I was born, and I'm the reason that she wasn't in college anymore. After I was born.
I get it.
Listen, I went to a women's college, and there was always a myth that the girls would spread that if you get pregnant, you'll lose your scholarships, which isn't true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it kept a lot of us.
It has been true, though. Like, I think that's like a leftover from when that was true. But
right.
I think people got their act together and were like, maybe this is not cool and it's totally unfair and shitty and we should change this.
A little illegal.
Yeah.
But it was because that was the thing that was always like wild. Like you go to the nurse and you're like, you clearly have allergies. Like one of my friends has horrible hay fever. Girl, I was friends from college. And
is this in Georgia or is this?
Yeah, this is in Georgia. And so
yeah, because allergies, my allergies go off in Georgia.
Let me tell you
something. Love going crazy in Georgia.
That's because the pollen falls like snow in Georgia.
That's tree sex.
I told somebody the other day that like they don't. I was like, you know what pollen actually is, right? She's like, what? I was like, tree sperm. She was like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, which makes it even crazier that our bodies have such a strong reaction. Like getting, like I get sleepy. You know, I'm like, God, I could really lie down. I could really lie down naked right now. Like, what's happening? I'm gonna fall asleep, baby.
Or your eyes are itchy. You're like, eyes, it's on your clothes. Like it gets every, cause it's so tiny. Like I saw this guy on Instagram saying it, cause in Georgia, they call it like the pollening or something silly like that. But this guy on Instagram was saying that his car looked like lemon pepper wings. And I thought that was very
exactly
funny.
Right.
Because, you know,
listen,
if
we want to make money, we should open up a car wash in Georgia or any other place that has that level of pollen because people be washing their cars like every other day.
Don't care.
They just let it go.
It's a fool's errand.
I agree. I totally agree.
To wash your
car. I just knew too many people who were like, I love my car. I'm proud of these wheels. Like, I'm going to keep my car clean even during this season. I was like, God be with you. Good luck to you. You're going to make yourself insane.
You'll make yourself insane because it's just like you have to wash your car. First of all, you have to wash your car at night, first of all.
Yes.
If you're going to not get caught up in the pollen, because the problem is when it finally does rain, like when it does rain, because it's spring, it's going to rain all the time. It's these yellow rivers that you see.
Yeah.
Because it's full of pollen. Because like after a certain point, like I remember one of our cats, Mustafa, he would come home with, like, he'd come back inside. First of all, the cat's covered in pollen. Then he's sneezing. I did not know that, like, I didn't know an animal could have allergies either.
Yeah.
So he's sneezing, his nose is all runny and stuff. And my mother's like, what's going on with this cat? And I was like, Mama, I think he has allergies. And she's like, do we need to get his cat Benadryl? This cat needs a Flonase. What's going on? And so we asked the vet was like, yeah, something when it's that level. Cause like, I don't really have allergies, but when it gets to the level, cause in Georgia, you can feel it on your skin.
Yeah.
Cause if you've ever seen pollen under a microscope, it actually looks like, that's why it sticks to everything.
Cause you know, spikes, like, right?
Mm-hmm, like, you know, the sticker burrs they used to throw at people.
Yeah. Yep. 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 Yeah.
So yeah, put that down the microscope. There's little spikes on them that catch on you.
Yeah.
And so that's why all pollen is. It's just little tiny spiky balls. Trying to have
penetrating
sex.
You like sperm.
Mm-hmm.
Penetrating every inch of your skin.
Well, maybe that's have to be why we have to be allergic so we don't get pregnant and then we don't have flower babies.
That's it. Flower babies. That sounds good.
Listen, you don't know what that
That
combo
sounds so
would be.
cute.
It
You're
could be
absolutely right.
great, or it could be Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors. So you don't
You're
know.
absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You said you went to a girls' college. Was your high school co-ed, or was it all girls too?
Yes, I went to women's college, and then the college was co-ed. I went. It's Brenau University. It's a private women's college in Gainesville, Georgia, and I remember we had T-shirts, and everybody loved them. But they didn't make them for a long time. But it said, "Not a girls' school without men, but a women's college without boys." And I was like,
I like that.
"Oh,
I like that.
saucy!"
Yeah.
I don't know if somebody's dad complained, but we didn't have them for a long time. And I was like, "This is."
Oh, come on.
I don't know who is. I don't know if the girl. I don't know who
That's
complained,
so funny.
but as soon as they make them, they'd sell out. And then just like, wait, where's my? And then something always happened. You bleach on, it goes missing. I don't know where the hell that shirt is, but I loved it. But yeah, my high school. I went to public high school in Georgia. So out like right outside Atlanta, I went to Meadow Creek High School. So I went to a very like diverse high school because my freshman year of high school, my school was in USA Today as being one of the most diverse schools in the United States.
How
And the
about
school at
that?
the time was still like 45% white. By the time I graduated, so my senior year, the school was 25%, 25, 25. Like it was all even. And we were like, where the hell is USA Today now?
I know. Get in here. Get
Listen,
in here, USA Today.
this is why Dr. King marched for these numbers to be even. And we
For
had
the numbers to be even. And what's the consistent, like, was it? I mean, obviously, we know it will be black and white. That's one of the things I love about Atlanta, which may be a naive thing to say, but
It's
that's just
not.
I've worked there for, across the last time, like the entire time I've done this, which I guess is now like almost 20 years. I was working in Atlanta before anybody else, because we shot, I was on a show called Dinner and a Movie, and we shot there throughout the year, year round. Yeah. And TBS was over there, their Turner stuff was there. And then Tyler Perry's studio opened up, and then BET was there, and so I just kept getting jobs that were over there. And I genuinely, like, I'm from Arizona, which is like I'm from Southern Arizona, which is like predominantly, Latino Latinas, and then white people, and then predominantly people from down south, and then a black population, but it's not massive. And so I always worried, like, going to Atlanta, that I was like that white lady who was like, I love how diverse this is. Like, the people I'm working with on the crew are black. Like, there's more, we have more black people on the crew than white people. We have more, like, I'm working. And when I went on BET, there, I was literally the only white person. I was the only white person on the crew or the cast. And I was like, everyone should feel this. Not to say that I felt like, obviously, I was very lucky, because it was not the. I was not having the white person's experience of a single black person in a white environment. That's very, very different. But even just that experience, I was like, man, everyone should have this. Like, everyone should just like feel what it feels like to be the only one of something, and be like, I don't really belong here, but like this, in my case, everyone was wonderful and I had a great
You're at
time and those
work.
are my peeps.
It's but yeah,
But I love it. I love that city. I love Georgia. It's Georgia itself is a little complicated, but I love
here's the
Atlanta.
thing. It's you have to remember that like so during COVID and at one point when the governor was trying to because Trump was like, come Easter, we're open everything back up. And the governor of Georgia was like, cool. And then Easter started showing up, and then Trump was like, hey, maybe we shouldn't open everything back up. And the governor of Georgia went, nope, you said we're opening back up. So we're opening back up. And Trump was like, no. He was like, yeah. And so there's six major cities in Georgia at the time. All of them had a black mayor except one. So it's the white governor versus five black mayors, and then the white dude who runs Albany, Georgia, and he gets it. So it's there. Georgia's always been interesting politically because Georgia was always blue on a local level, like from 1865 until the year 2000, Georgia had a Democrat as the governor. A Republican could not win as governor in Georgia from 1865 until the year 2000. But when it came to the presidential election, Georgia was always red. So it was always, Georgia's always been a very much of an anomaly politically because it's like, well, how's your governor always a Democrat?
Right.
But your president is, because I think the last time Georgia went kind of like purple was when the first time Clinton ran.
Yep,
And then
yep.
every other time after that, and I think it's been red.
Yeah.
So I said to one of my friends one day, I said, the only white people I trust are white people from Atlanta, because white people from Atlanta are always the first ones to go, where are the black people? I don't. Like, one of my friends moved with his husband to rural Tennessee, and he messaged me one day. He's like, I can't find the black people. I don't trust this city. And
I
he's
get it.
just, but it's other people. And it's just like, but when you grow up somewhere, so like where I grew up, it had a large, like, after the Olympics, there was a big boom in like the Latino community and a boom in like the Asian community. So we had a lot of Koreans, a lot of Vietnamese, and a lot of like Southeast Asians. So a lot of people from India came. And so a lot of them moved to like Marietta, which is the
Sure.
richest. So like Cobb County is the richest county in the state. And
Yep.
then the second richest county is Gwinnett, where I grew up.
Yeah.
And so basically, when your parents got a good job, they ever moved to Gwinnett or they moved to Cobb County. And so by my senior year, it was 25% black, 25% white, 25% Latino, 24% Asian, and then 1% of people who just wrote other, right?
Yeah.
And so,
Yeah.
like, our international weeks would be
That's awesome.
huge. It was great. And so,
That's
like, my
awesome.
this year, the because I was class of 01, the class of 2000, their gift to the school was a translator, basically, but like an electronic translator. So you could talk into this computer into one language and it would respond in another language.
Whoa,
And
that feels so advanced for at that point. That's
2000,
very
yeah.
cool.
And
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell our gift was. I think we built something. I don't know what the fuck. I think we painted the stadium. I don't know. But like, I know we didn't do that. So it's funny because like our teachers, like I remember one of my friends got written up and he was like, and I was like, Marius, what happened? He was like, I called my teacher a bitch in Romanian. So like our teachers knew if they were getting cussed out. Like one of the teachers said to me, she knew she was getting called a bitch in like 14 languages. Because I remember we were in
You
a
gotta
class.
learn that. You gotta take advantage of it so you can use it yourself and throw it out there sometimes from
I
time to
don't even
time
remember a cuss
in
word in the
life.
language, but I remember some kid getting in trouble and then the teacher being like, I know what you said. He's like, She's like, you called me a bitch in Vietnamese. And then they got written up, called me a bitch in Vietnamese. Like she's like, you know the food and the cuss words of a lot of other languages is what I've
There you go.
realized. But yeah,
There
my
you
teachers knew
go.
where they were getting called a bitch in multiple languages. But like we had a big international week. We had like a lot of like it was just a lot of diversity at my school. And then you, because I was talking to one of my friends who had like gone to another high school in the county that was just like maybe 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes away. And she was
Yeah.
just like, it was such a big change, like a culture shock. Because like my middle school was diverse too. And so I always went to like either like diverse or like very white schools. And so she went to another county, another high school. She went to like Parkview, went to another high school in the county, and she was just like, oh my God. She said, it's so boring. There are so many white people. She's like, everyone speaks English. It is the worst
I
thing.
would not know what to do in that env I mean, I would be the same. I would be the same. I would be like, I don't know. This feels like Stepford Wivesy to me. Like if I were just in a like a predominantly white community, I would not know. I've never lived in a place like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, like the neighborhood I lived in Atlanta, like we lived in Norcross for like 12 years, I think. Because it's like, yeah, four, like 10 or 12 years. And so when we moved to another part of Atlanta, my mom bought a house in Stone Mountain. And it's funny because like we
Oh,
moved into
sure.
the house and we just like stopped a Quick Trip to get something to drink. You know, used to move into the house. And she looked up and she was like, everybody's black. I said, what? She's like, everybody's black. She said, everybody getting gas is black. The people selling gas is black. The cops standing out here is black. She said, all the music is in English. And I was like, did we just get culture shocked by our own culture? She said, I think so. Because in Norcross, all of our neighbors were Mexican. And we knew that specific. And so people were just like, oh, because I have asked black people ask me, how come you speak Mexican? I said, I speak Spanish, first of all. Let's fix that. Second, Miami-Dade Public Schools is the reason I speak Spanish. And Gwinnett County Public Schools helped me and so did Norcross, Georgia. So it's like our neighborhood was predominantly Mexican and it was predominantly new arrival immigrants, some of them not having papers.
Sure.
So I wrote about in the book the day the immigration came. So I was 19 and I woke up on a Sunday to like yelling and like commotion. And I was like, it's too early for it to be a party. What the hell is all this yelling about? And so I look out the door. Our front door had like a window in it. And I look out the door and I see ice trucks coming in.
Oh, fuck.
And the
Okay.
year before, me and my brother had been walking around and we met some cops walking out of a Dunkin' Donuts. We started laughing at them. And this old cop was like, eh, but the young cop was like, no, it's just the only place that's open right now. We're like, blah, blah, blah. So I end up talking to like this cute cop, like he was like El Salvadorian or something. For like an hour. And he was telling me about how ICE was coming. This is when ICE started. It was when I was
Oh,
in
yeah.
college. It's like my senior,
Yeah.
freshman year of college. Tell me about ICE. And C said, yeah, Gwinnett County just recruited like 60 officers to start working for this new program called ICE. And then a year later, ICE brought eight 20 passenger vans to our neighborhood. And I saw one of the officers. I'm looking out the window and I see one of the ICE officers walk by and look me in the face and go, nope, not her. And then go to my neighbor's house. And then all of my neighbors, so it's like one, two. So they emptied out. There were whole apartment buildings where everybody was gone. So like one of them would be
Jesus.
like a building. So one of the building was like either 4 or 8 units in a building. And so
Yeah.
one of my neighbors, it was like there was upstairs, it was a black family and then a Mexican family. And they'd been there for like a few years. They had five kids, three of them were born in America. And when it's a whole family unit. So because it was a husband, a wife, two kids born in Mexico and three kids born here, everybody goes back. And then the two kids that were born here can come back when they're 18. So it was a black family above a black family and then a Mexican family above it. So that side of the apartment was gone. And then the other side of the apartment was four. They were gone. So that's six apartments. And then there was another building where everybody was gone but the black family. And there was another family where it was like there was it was like a Vietnamese family. Everybody with them was gone. So they just went through and just went door to door to door to door to door. But the reason they came on Sunday is when the men are home because it's the only day they don't work. So they took
Ugh.
every, so it was like they left. It was 20 passenger vans and all of the vans were full when they left. And so the apartment just was pulling
That's
furniture
so
out of people.
crazy.
But what's crazy is in within 2 months, all of those apartments were occupied. They were full in 2 months with people who had
With
just,
new, yeah.
Because my apartment complex is two halves. So it was our apartment complex and another apartment. It was the same office, but just had two separate names. So they swept through the other side first. Actually, they hit them at the same time so people couldn't leave. And there was a road connecting them in the back. So they hit both sides at the same time. So between the two apartment complexes, there was probably over like 30 empty units between the two of them. But everybody knew because my
Crazy.
neighbors were like, they didn't get my one set of neighbors because they had papers. But my other
Yeah.
set of neighbors and the lady above us was black. And so just was like, well, who's gone? Like, they're not here. They're da 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 da. And then the maintenance came through, pulled people's furniture out, and they just left. So it was crazy to see because it's like whole families were
Yeah.
gone. But also those creepy men that used to follow us around the apartment were also gone. So it's just like, I
Oh,
mean, they had, were looking at a chance at a new life. He just was going to be a criminal in another country.
yeah.
Oh yeah, they were wild because they would follow me around and they'd be like, they said one of them said to my mom one day, I was like, well, in my country it's different. My mother was like, oh, well, let me put tape up the United States of America and put a weapon in his face. So
Yeah,
nah, she's
yeah.
14 player. We don't play that game out here.
Oh,
Also,
fuck.
don't you
Yeah,
have kids in another
yeah.
country? So it was interesting because like the first boy I ever dated was from El Salvador. And I knew his whole family because his whole family lived in the apartment complex.
Yeah.
So it was crazy to watch because I remember like there would be so when ICE hit, ICE was not playing because they came through pulling everybody out of everywhere. They were down the street. Like we would get to school and like, who's not here? So it's like, oh, and it wasn't just, it was mainly Latino families that they looked like they were going for. I mean, one of my homeboys got deported. Yeah. Just on
Yeah.
the statistics thing, because
Just on the statistics thing.
just so much harder to get from an Asian country because you have to cross water.
Yeah.
So, but like, my mom tried to get me an immigration marriage from the people at the Chinese buffet. And then my Dominican hairstylist was trying to get me to marry her brother. And then my Romanian boss was trying to get me to marry one of our customers. And I was like, why is everybody trying to sell me an immigration marriage? Because it wasn't enough money. Because my Romanian
Yeah.
boss was trying to get me to be in this immigration marriage, she was like, but they'll pay, but first of all, you have to be married for 3 years.
That's not nothing.
That's not nothing. If somebody told me I had to be in jail for 3 years, I'd be like, ah! So it's not nothing. And they only pay you $5,000. They give you half the money at the beginning and half the money at the end. And she was like, but they pay you $5,000. I said, you got to be married for 3 years. She's like, yeah, it's not the best. I said, Gabby, you don't think I can make $5,000 in 3 years? She's like, you know what? Never mind. And I'm like, thank you.
You're like, feel free to take that and use it and be more logical for the next person you try to get to marry for 3 years. Plus, don't you have to, like, I mean, I guess I've only seen movies about this, but, like, don't you have to, like, they can drop in and be like,
yes,
what's this person's underwear like?
Yes.
How, when they sneeze, how many times do they sneeze in a row?
Like, yes. One of her friends, like, a lady they know from church, because she's Romanian Orthodox and her husband. No, she's Orthodox. And so she said a girl they know was in an immigration marriage to this man, and they tried to ask her what her headboard looked like. And she's like, I don't know this word. And like, headboard. And she's like, I don't know this word. And they couldn't find somebody to get what the Romanian was for a headboard. So she was able, because like, she said she got out of there. She was like, oh, fuck. Oh my God. I had no idea what that headboard. We live together. Shit. But she just kept
using it. Like, you got to use it. You don't know the word. Use it. Use it to your advantage.
Because you can go on Google and be like, Spanish, headboard.
Yeah.
Boom. Got it. But like, Romanian? Yep. Headboard?
Good on her.
She got it. Let her have it. She got her money and got out. But there was a couple of Romanians that walked in there, and I was like, hey, does he need an immigration marriage? Because I'll give him one. I'll definitely be married to him, and I will consummate all he needs to. We will make sure that he gets his papers. What do you think? Bogdan, Chef Fox. Does he need papers, Gabby? Like, no, he's got a fiance. I'm like, is that bitch legal? Because I give him what he needs. Get rid of that goofy bitch. You trying to be an American? But yeah, dumb stuff.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second and go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, first of all, everybody got to get this book. Let me just put that out there right now.
Thank you.
I'm glad you got tricked into it. For the last part of the podcast, I like to do a little MASH game. Did you ever play MASH?
In school? Of
Mansion,
course
apartment,
I play.
Shack, house. Okay, good.
Okay, this is my question. How did you do your MASH? Because first of all, I thought, you know, like the little fortune teller.
Well, that's like a
cootie
cat. That's like a fortune teller, right?
Let
that's the
something.
Where like a man, and then you fold that
right.
open.
I didn't know. First of all, I didn't know it was called a cootie catcher.
I didn't either. I found that out as an adult because I did that on my podcast like 10 years ago. And someone's like, oh, you had a cootie catcher. And I was like,
what the hell are you talking about?
And then they go, what did you call it? And I go, we didn't call it anything. I don't remember ever calling it anything. Like, I literally don't remember if I ever called it something or if it was just like, you want to do that paper thing? Like,
I think we might have called it like a little fortune teller.
Yeah, I think that's the, and by the way, that's the name that makes the most sense. Cootie catcher. Where's that coming from?
Wild. Who? And I thought that people did them different because we would do numbers on the outside and Same. Then we would do colors on the inside.
Same.
And then now apparently the churn are like doing like colors and shapes on the outside. I said, what in the kindergarten class is this? And then you would lift it up. Because I remember making them, and you would lift it up and be like, how are you going to fail your math test? Or, hey, you're going to get an A on your math test. It was almost like, yeah, it was like a magic eight ball thing.
Yes,
but
yes.
MASH, because it was mansion, apartment,
shack,
house. I remember playing with a girl who had moved down from New York. And I remember we had to explain to her what a shack was.
Oh, no.
He was like, what is a shack? And we're like, what are you talking about? What the fuck does it know what a shack is?
That's amazing. That's an amazing piece of information. Now I'm like, how many of my friends don't know what a shack is? Shit.
We all know what a shack was. We all know what a shack was. Also, and I tried to look this up because I thought it was maybe like only like a black thing or a southern thing. So like if you spent the night at your grandparents' house or like an aunt's house or something, and they didn't have like an extra room, you had to sleep in the living room, like lay a bunch of blankets down and stuff on the floor. What did you call that?
Oh God. I mean, I think we would just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's a word for it. I mean, I definitely did it a bunch, but I think it would just be like, you know, bed on the floor. Make your bed on the floor.
Because we call it a pallet.
Oh, okay.
Like if you're over somebody's house, like you say your mom and your aunt were talking late, you're like, all right, make a pallet. And you would lay a bunch.
Sound cool.
But I was like, did other people not call it? I guess because I tried it. Because if you Google it, it just shows you those wooden things that people ship products.
Which maybe means that people used to have to sleep on those. So it's not cool at all. It's probably like because there was fucking nowhere else. And that was like, you were lucky if you got something that was like, it raised up a little bit, maybe. And it was, it would be like an old shipping pallet, maybe. I don't know.
Or maybe it's just I guess the same word got used for two things. Like I've been placed like a water closet is a bathroom, but also a water closet is where they would keep like the hot water heater. Just like I don't know.
Make a pallet. All right.
Maybe I think it's just a one word got used for two. Like it in Spanish, some words would be like for two things.
Sure. Yeah.
So I just was always wondering because like one of those things from growing up. But it's like MASH. And then how did you? And what other things? So just like. Because we would decide what number.
You. Someone made me this pad. So I
That's
got
amazing.
This. I was given a little doodle. And then I'll do three things of each category that you'll give me your picks for.
So
and
how many categories end, did you have?
Well, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But I don't remember if that was what we did then. Because I feel like sometimes you'd have a whole sheet of paper and you just fill it up with as many categories as you could squeeze
in.
And then it was almost like, what paper size do you have? And that will determine like how many categories. And how small can you write or how big do you write?
Because it would be, one would be, what city would you live in?
Mm-hmm.
Because one was, okay, I'm trying to write this down. Maybe like muscle memory would help. So it's like, what city you lived in? And then who your partner was.
Mm-hmm.
So look over who was your husband, how many kids you'd have.
Yep, same.
How much money you would make.
Did I have that? I don't know if we were smart enough to know that. Because I feel like as kids, we would have been like, $10,000 a year.
Nah, we didn't play that game. We're kids from Atlanta. We know you got work. let's see, what job did you have? Oh fuck. Sometimes it was, what job did your husband have?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So city, husband, kids.
Sometimes it would be like pet. Sometimes it would be like, what kind of car would you
drive? They're trying to remember what kind of car you drove.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
So what I like to do is I like to do a mix of traditional and like new / stuff based on our conversation.
I'm excited.
So like the first one, but I do like the first one of where would you like to have a second home? I'm not putting you in that place permanently. I'm giving you another home.
Look
that I can
Jesus.
Teleport you to.
I can teleport
you there. You don't have to get on a plane. So if you want your city to be outside of the U.S., let's do it. Give me three places you would like to live in or out of the U.S. Just know we can teleport you there.
Okay. Let's see. I want to go to Cuba because I'm originally from Miami, so you got to go back to the motherland.
Gorgeous.
Turks and Caicos.
Oh, yeah.
And sounds crazy, but Atlanta.
Not crazy. Not. crazy. Okay. All right. Next one. Let's do our romance. Give me three people. They can be from some other era, some other age. We can pull somebody out who's like not alive anymore, but you're going to get the young, fresh version of them. It could be someone from a book, character from a movie, cartoon, your pick, whatever you want. And I'm not even committing you to a lifelong marriage unless you want one. If you want to be like one of these categories, I'm going to say this person, I don't want them for my whole life. Give them to me.
No, we're going to the dirt.
That's
baby.
Fine too.
Listen, all right, baby. The only way to leave me is an obituary.
Okay.
Marshawn Lynch.
Great.
I legitimately want to touch his hands.
I think we can make we got to make this happen.
I want to feel the hem of his garment.
Great.
Very much a Christian deep cut. Let's see. Marshawn Lynch. Gene Wilder. He seemed like a very nice husband. He seemed like a very sweet man.
I agree.
A pharaoh.
Amazing. So that I may be killed when he dies. My body will live with him in the afterlife.
Nah, girl, I got royal lineage. They can't kill me. I'm going to be a female pharaoh.
Beautiful. Okay. And then next category, give me three people, living or dead, that we're going to give you the opportunity to collaborate on something with. So maybe you're doing a sketch show with so-and-so. Maybe you're making a movie. Maybe you're doing an album with. Whatever you want, three people you'd like to collaborate on something creative with.
Greer Barnes. Great. Because Greer is one of those performers. I remember the first time I saw him was on like Premium Blend when I was in high school. And then to get to meet him like as like a comic and just see his brain and then just see him. Cause like, I remember the first time I saw him like in person do stand up and he was doing a character and I just was like, I want him, but it wasn't like in a sexual way. It was just like as a performer.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, something like they'll call like sometimes like a comedy crush where you're just like,
oh God. Yeah.
I just want to come here. Just give me your brain. And I want to do things with you. Him. Who else's brain do I love? I would love to work with Maria Bamford.
Ah, I could see that happening.
She's such a beast, bro.
Oh man,
she's such a beast. And then who else? Who else? Carol Burnett.
Great. Okay. Next category, three foods that in this reality, maybe you can't have as much as you want because it's expensive or it's far away or it makes you feel sick if you eat too much, whatever. Or just something you had once, like a family member make it and you can't get it anymore because that family member passed or whatever. These are three foods I'm going to give you whenever you want, snap of your fingers, zero ramifications to you or anyone else.
Oh, so there's this coconut tapioca. Coconut tapioca dim sum dessert that I had with my homeboy. Ooh. And I've been chasing that dragon ever since.
Okay, great.
I don't even know if there's an English translation for the name, but that's amazing.
Got it.
A bean pie.
Love, got it.
Because I don't know if Nate, if you've ever gone down to the West End Mall in Atlanta and bought a pie from a man wearing a bow tie in the summertime, but they're from the Nation of Islam. They're amazing. I tried to get Trevor to eat one and he was not having it. He's like, beans in the pie. I was like, just try them.
I love bean pie.
And then let's see that dessert. Let's see. Nachos.
Oh yeah.
Nachos.
We have it. Yes, indeed. Okay. Beautiful. All right. Next category, give me three talents or three skills that you would love to wake up with tomorrow and you just kind of downloaded it Matrix style. Like, oh, I'm sorry, did you need me to play you some guitar? Or like, did you need me to speak in every language? Like, whatever you want. Three skills that we can just kind of bestow upon you.
Speaking Korean.
Great.
Being able to do a split.
Great.
Because I think the last time I did it, Reagan was in office.
I'm not even sure I've ever been able to do it.
I found out it's genetic. Some people truly just can't do them. Like the muscles don't
stretch. Well, then maybe
stretch.
That's me. That's sometimes what it felt like. I mean, I felt like I was ripping my body in half, even when I was a kid. I was like, I best stay away from this. This can't be good.
Listen, that's why, you know, a lot of people can't do it, because when you see somebody do it, you're like, yeah, wow.
Yeah. Like, it's yes, exactly.
It's amazing
right.
to us as it is. So let you know,
it's
a lot of people
to know.
Can't do it.
That's actually really good to know. I wish I would have known that sooner. I've been giving myself a lot of grief all these years.
Listen, a cartwheel.
Great.
I got boobs very early, and so I got out of the cartwheel thing real quick.
Understood. Very much understood. Okay, next category, give me three. We're giving you an extra room in your home. So you open up a door. It's like, it's magical in the sense that, like, it can take up as much or as little space in this reality somehow. Mm-hmm. It's just all there behind that door, but it's not like messing up your blueprint. You know what I mean?
It's a TARDIS.
It's a TARDIS. Thank you. Why didn't I just say that? It's a TARDIS. So what do you want in that TARDIS? What kind of room do you want? Do you want to be in a forest? Do you want to open it up? It's a craft room that's just like beautifully organized. What do you want? Three rooms.
I want a soft room.
Soft room.
Like, I guess I call it a soft playroom, but just like, I want the walls to be fuzzy. I want the floor to be soft. But it has to be at a very cool temperature, because sometimes fuzzy things are warm.
Cool. Cool.
So I want a nice
cool temp.
Cool temp soft room.
Great.
A full Jim Jo Bong of Korean sauna in my house.
Ooh, yes.
Because, man, if I could marry well, I am building that bitch. And actually,
no doubt,
in the vein of that, I watch a lot of Korean dramas, right? And the queen's quarters in the palace, if I could open the door, it'd be her whole joint.
Great. Queen's quarters. Perfect. Okay. Second to last category, give me three superpowers. Let's go for it. Give me three superpowers.
Well, am I already teleporting?
You're already teleporting. Well, you're only teleporting to your other place. You can't teleport anywhere else unless you want teleportation.
Oh, I want teleportation.
Great.
I don't know if I'd want to fly.
I always feel like I would want to float. Like, I don't need to be, like, flying above. I just want to be able to, like, almost, like, zero, you know, less gravity, where you're just, like, you take a step, but you're, like, if you want to be, like, boing. Like, you're in charge. Yeah.
Oh, floating. That sounds so much more fun than flying. I don't know why flying makes me feel like you have a responsibility to something.
I know. That's totally true.
Also, I feel like as a black person, if I could fly, I would have to, like, literally lift other black people up.
Oh, no.
Like, I already have to do it metaphorically, but now it's just like, also, I feel like there'd be way more errands from my mom.
Yeah.
Or just older black women in general. It's like, hey, I need you to go. Flying feels like you have a lot of responsibility to things.
I agree.
It's just like, can you take this over there to it would be a lot of like transporting shit.
Yes, I agree. But no one's gonna ask you, listen, floating is like, no one's guaranteeing I'm gonna even get there in time for you.
No,
I'm sorry, I'm just floating. So if you need it done fast, you got to do it yourself or call
don't
a courier
call me,
or drive.
Don't call me. Find somebody who can actually fucking fly. So floating seems great. The ability to breathe underwater.
Oh, absolutely.
Go hang out with some dolphins. Yes.
Okay, I love that so much that I want to do the last category to sort of be like being in an environment that ordinarily would be difficult in some way. You could interpret that however you want. I love being underwater so much that it made me feel like, you know, that's sort of like, yeah, listen, you want to tell me I could pet a tiger for a day, absolutely nothing's going to happen to me. Like, I'll probably want to do that. That'd be cool, you know? So like three things like that.
Being able to talk to animals.
Yeah.
Like commune with animals. So it's just like me and
that.
Some like crocodiles just like, what you doing? What you doing?
Great.
What's happening down here, my toothy friend? Ooh. Being able to be around a bunch of male comics and none of them say anything rude.
Yes. They just can't help it, or they just don't want to help it.
No, because not only they can't not be rude to you, they cannot be rude to each other.
Correct. Male comics, no rudeness.
No rudeness.
A girl can dream. Broken and what's your dream. Last one?
Ooh. For every woman in the world to feel safe for like a week.
I'm going to say feel and be safe.
Feel and be safe. Yes, actually be. Yeah, feel
and be. I know
that's
like what you
be.
Meant. I know that's what yeah, you yeah, meant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just clarifying for both of us.
Listen, you work the BET. You know the constant. You know how the constant be that we use, the ever-present, you know, like of our vernacular. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Be to really like just exist in the, just the space, just like being safe. Like it's like, not the idea of like be, safety, which is like, I'm holding my keys in my hand in my car. It's like the fact that one of my friends who's like a 6'3 black man is like, yeah, when I have a lot of stuff in my mind. I go walking alone at night. And I was like, okay. He's like, you should try it.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
so yeah, that feels good. To, yeah. Yeah. I mean, imagine so just not even, it never even, cons- it never, you never even consider even like, maybe I, yeah.
Sam J has a joke about it, or she had a joke about it, about how she walked into her homeboy's house, a friend of ours, and his door was unlocked. This is an apartment in like Koreatown. The door was unlocked. Yeah. She walked in. He's sitting on the couch. His back is just the couch. He never turned around.
Wow.
To see who came in. And she's like, it's me. He's like, oh, okay. It never crossed his mind to be like, hey.
Yeah.
Let me see who's behind me.
Uh-huh.
So that feeling of just like not having to just.
I don't think it would ever occur to me to have my sofa with its back. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think
First of all,
I'm never going to be facing my back to the door. I'll never do that.
What are you talking?
Yeah.
Oh, when? Where? So it's like, one, my sofa is not to the door. Two, my back is not to the door. My own home. Crazy.
Correct.
So yeah. Just.
I love that.
Women actually being safe for like a week.
I love that. Okay. I'm going to do the little, did you do the little swirly thing? Or like,
yes, that's what I was going to ask you. You do the swirl and then you count it from like the middle.
That's right.
And then go
out. That's right. All right. So I'm going to start my swirl and you tell me when to stop.
All right.
Go.
Stop.
Okay, great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. Okay, I'm going to do this very important, as you know, very scientific that's not even math. I'm going to give you your 100% guaranteed MASH alternate reality future. And if you want, you can, you know, check your email or whatever. It's going to take about 30 seconds, but it's also a great opportunity if you want to. Julian will edit that out. But otherwise, but also, like, it's a great opportunity to tell people where they can find you on social media. Mention the book again. Tell people to make sure to go to your site to check out the tour dates.
You know what? I'm going to start doing this for people because, like, for Valentine's Day, I always give out presents on Valentine's Day. And so I used to give out, like, kids Valentine's. And then I started making bracelets and people loved that. But doing this, it shows. It's like, okay, I'm doing your MASH. Because it was always fun to do MASH for boys because boys would be like, what are you talking about? But the girls were like, we're doing science. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's, oh, baby. And then the guys are like halfway through, they're like, wait a minute. I'm like really into this. Like,
oh, there's a comic.
They get so, into it.
You know this game, Marry, Fuck, Kill?
Oh, yeah.
So one of my friends changed it to Marry, Fuck, Quit Comedy.
Best use of category.
Best use of category.
Best use of category.
He was like, he said, kill seems so mean. What if we do quit comedy? We were like, damn, that's
so good.
So we started.
I know some comics who would rather end up on the kill list than the comedy list.
It's so great because we used to do like a bunch of female comics in Atlanta used to get together. And so one day, one of our friends came over with one of those trifold poster boards.
And
she put all of the male comedians' names down, like the ones in the city and then like bigger, like famous comedians. And then she had like a star system. So anyone that got like Mary got one color, kill, and then quit comedy. And it was true. We're just sitting there sipping on a wine and lemonade cocktail, being like, Brian. And it's because at one point you're like a bunch of dudes you want to marry. And the hardest one was a bunch of dudes you wanted to quit comedy. That was one of the hardest. Because you're like, what do I do? What do I do?
Yeah.
But if you want to see me on the socials, it's Dulce Sloan. on everything. DulceSloan. I'm on Instagrams. I have a link tree. I think I'm on the website formerly known as Twitter. I didn't understand it when I got on it in 2012, but I understand it now. I'm on TikTok trying to build that up. I'm on the road, so you can find my road dates at DulceSloan.com. Also, me and comedian Lace Larrabee started a lip gloss company called Giggle Gloss.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm writing this down.
It's called Giggle Gloss, GIGGLE gloss.com. And all of the colors have comedic names. Our best-selling color is No More Broke Dick.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
It's a sparsely gold color. This is my ministry.
It's a great color. That's a great
color.
Thank
you so much.
Great name, great color.
So, yeah, our colors are No More Broke Dick, Purse Vodka, I'll Show You Crazy, Lafayette Majora, Future Wife, and Amos Lady. And so I've got colors.
I cannot wait to see the colors that are paired with those names. That's
weird, because Purse Vodka is like a peachy kind of sparkly color.
That's what I thought it would be.
Which is perfect. I'll Show You Crazy is a red color, like a corally kind of red.
Perfect.
Lafayette Majora is like a soft pink color.
Perfect. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Future Wife is like a nice brown, like a soft brown color.
Right.
And then Amos Lady is like a black cherry color. It's what the men's in Atlanta used to holler at the kid.
Amos Lady.
Because in New York, they go, yo, ma. But in New York, but in Atlanta, it's like Amos Lady, Amy Lady, Amy Lady. Because I can't spell Amy Lady, but Amos Lady. I know how to put that
Amos
on label.
Amos Lady.
But we designed the logo. I designed the labels.
That's so cool.
It's a family business. It's an at-home business. So I pack all the orders. And then.
Well, guess what? You're going to be seeing one coming in from me.
Thank you, friend.
Possibly more.
And my mama, me and my mom pack them and then she takes them to the post office because there's nothing a woman in her 60s loves more than going to the post office. And I am glad to help her indulge in this.
Wonderful.
But yeah, so you got my results, boss lady.
I do.
Excited.
All right. There's a lot to love in here. There's a lot to love in here.
Okay.
First of all, oh my God. Okay, I'm going to save some of this is one of those things where like I almost want to save everything for last, but that means something has to go first. So
true.
I'm going to start out by saying great, great collaboration with Greer Barnes. You got inside that brain. You mushed around in there. You made a new thing together. It gives you that same rush of like that adrenaline that I totally know what you're talking about because I've so been watching someone and felt like, it's my job to run up there right now.
Yes.
You're like, no, girl, it's not your job. But that adrenaline is so strong that you're like,
Give me.
You know? Like, you get that.
You just want to kiss them on the mouth. But it's just like, I just need.
Yes.
You have so much energy. You're just like, I have all of this.
Yes.
Okay, so you get it. Perfect. Yes.
So it all came together and you're collaborating with Greer Barnes. So amazing on that.
Love that.
I also want to congratulate you on, and I know that, you know, listen, whether he came to your mansion in Cuba to work on that, I mean, what? Or you guys did it at home, that's cool. Maybe you just did it, I know you got a lot of room in that Queens quarters that you got in your current home here, not your mansion in Cuba. So you also have a lot. You basically have a mansion inside of your house, and then you have a mansion in Cuba as well that you can teleport to. So congrats on that. Somewhere in there, when you're like, you know what, these two things aren't even enough. I need to go under the water and just breathe underwater and just be down there. You can also do that. That's very convenient because while you're down there, might as well talk to all the animals down there talk to the animals up on land because you can. You absolutely can.
What would a fish tell you? What's it doing?
Yeah. And you got to fill me in on that. You can cartwheel your way all the way under the water.
Yo, that's the only time I can do
boobs
a cartwheel.
Boobs notwithstanding.
Listen.
Boobs are not. It's a magical cartwheel. Your boobs stay right where you want them. Wherever you want them to be, they stay.
It's the only time I can do a flip. Is it a pool?
Do that. Exactly. You're good with the cartwheel. What else does that mean? That means you also can't. Oh, well, Listen, all I'm saying is I hope that Marshawn Lynch also enjoys your coconut tapioca dessert, because you can have that whenever you want, in perpetuity, zero ramifications. What a delicious entire mash this turned out to be.
I don't know how. Other than Cuba, because Turks and Caicos was my first option.
Yeah.
Other than Cuba, I don't know how I got all of my basically like first things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what I really, really wanted.
It was meant to be.
I would love to breathe underwater because I hate that we can't. Also, I've always wondered, can crabs and lobsters breathe outside the water?
I think so, but you're right. The crabs can't, because the crabs spend a lot of time
on land.
Certain types, although sea crabs are never above the water. Oh no, you've totally blown my mind right now.
See,
the rest of my day is going to be devoted to finding this out.
Because it's like Dungeness crabs or like blue crabs. You'll see them
Right, right.
But then other crabs are always in the water. But like hermit crabs.
Right.
Do hermit crabs have lungs?
I'm going to look this up. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to look this up.
Because I know frogs are amphibians. But amphibians doesn't have to do anything with how they, because don't they breathe air?
I still thought they breathed air.
Because frogs don't have gills. Frogs do have lungs, so they dissect them. So is there any animal that breathes air and water?
Is there an animal that breathes? No. You know what? I can't wait. I got to look it up right now.
I have to too.
Is there an animal that can breathe air and water? I hope that someone listening is like a zoologist and they're just shaking their head right now. 13 animals that can breathe above and below water.
Ooh.
What? Various. The first picture is of a frog.
What?
Something loud just landed on my roof. I hope it was a giant frog.
That's hilarious.
Who else? Tadpoles and frogs, newt, axolotl, lizard, lungfish. Oh, axolotl. So, axolotl.
Okay, amphibians.
Analyst lizard, lungfish, clownfish, mudskipper. Intertidal crabs.
So wait,
sculpin, climbing perch, snakehead fish, aquatic insects, diving bell spiders. Didn't need to know that.
Mm-mm.
Huh.
Wait, so amphibians... So I was right. Amphibians do.
I think you are right.
See, they use their lungs to breathe on land. And when in the water, they can absorb oxygen directly through their skin. That's
how
they.
That's what they told us in school. And I forgot.
Some fish, such as lungfish and mudskippers. Because I know about mudskippers.
I got to look at intertidal crabs. I'm going straight to the crabs.
I know we can't eat them. I know we can't
fish
eat them.
Fish and amphibians can't breathe above the... Oh, fish and amphibians aren't the only... Okay, the crabs have different mechanisms that help them survive when they're on land. Some terrestrial and hermit crabs actually have both lungs and gills.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Their lungs are called brachiostegial lungs.
Mm.
Let's pretend like I said that right. And when they can't use their gills to breathe, their body is capable of transitioning from an aquatic to a terrestrial dwelling thanks to these lungs. The crabs that don't have lungs rely on their gills at all times, but they still have a way of surviving even when they are out of water by keeping their gills moist. The blue crab, for example, can survive out of water for at least 24 hours because it has special articulating plates around its gills.
Because I've eaten a lot of blue crabs in my life, and I would, and you'd have to, because I don't know what they call it other places, but in like Miami, where like the guts were of a crab, they call it the dead man. So you couldn't eat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's a southern thing or a southern black thing. I don't know. But they would call it a dead man. And so you couldn't eat like the guts because they're like green. So it just sort of seems like poop and such. You couldn't eat. Also, they told you couldn't go in the ocean when you were on your period because you'd get a dead man and you would attract sharks.
Yes. I was told that also. And in Atlanta, we had we definitely had some black chefs, but everybody, when we, it was a cooking show. So whenever anything like that got made, everyone just joked that it was called the You don't want to eat that.
Yeah. It is so funny because like there's this Korean family that it's a dad and a mom and like their daughters, and she cooks this food for her parents. And the whole point, I think they have like a, it's on Instagram and I follow them. It's called like Korean cooking or something. And their dad has just like the parents have blown up online because the dad's so excited about eating food. So he gets up and he'd be like, bussin', because they taught the dad bussin', and now anything he really likes is bussin'. He's the cutest man.
That's adorable.
Because I have like his own page, and so he'll do like inspirational like talks for people, and you know, just give them like good Christian Korean dad wisdom.
Great.
But them eating like Philly cheesesteaks for the first time, or having like, because the daughter's an amazing chef.
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay, here is Jamaican food, and you're watching her cook, and you're just like, oh yeah, like you see like cleaning the chicken with a lime. I'm like, oh, she did her research. Because if anybody washed the chicken, it's us. And I remember one of my friends came from the UK, and he was making this karage chicken because he lived in Japan for years. And he came to see me in New York, and I got all this like chicken breasts and stuff. And so I'm washing the chicken. He's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm washing the chicken. He's like, but it's America. And I was like, I know. That's why I'm washing the chicken. Like, what are you? She's a first world country. You're going to wash your poultry. And I was like, hey, bro, I don't know what they told you, but I'm washing this chicken. You ain't finished. I don't give a fuck. What are you talking about? You think America's the reason I'm not cleaning a chicken? Are you talking about? I don't know what happened at the grocery store. The hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't the slaughtering. It was the handling that I'm worried about.
Exactly.
Also, my friend.
Exactly.
It's wild. One of my friends yesterday was just like, he said the word slaughter. We were having a very silly interaction online. Just very stupid. He was saying like the word slaughter he thought was just really intense. And I was just like, but how else? He's like, why are you slaughtering a cow? Can't you just cook it? I was like, it's not a lobster.
You think that means the same thing?
This isn't a lobster. You just can't drop a whole cow into a pan. Like, you have to kill it.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Boys are so stupid. You're like, how are y'all alive? Why do we let you run things? You bunch of dummies. Yeah. I was like, what word you prefer? Yeah. He's like, merc. I was like, I'm not doing this with you. But dinner in a movie, because you look for, I was like, dinner in a movie. Oh my God.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's like, it used to be the thing that was like on when you would, I'm going to end this. Everybody, thanks for listening. Go get Dulcie's book. Go see her do comedy.
I'm just rambling.
That's clear. No. I just looked at the clock and was like, oh shit. Like I could talk to you forever.
Thank you.
And then as soon as you started talking about me, I was like, ew, no. But I'm going to stop recording, everybody. And I'll talk to you next week. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi. And really all you'd need was a peck from her. Maybe we should trade for some physics or black market spines to go and get us back. Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows
supported
directly
by you.